30 seconds. Well, sure, absolutely, Rabbi. Yes.
Commissioner, it's good to see you.
Good to see you, sir.
Yeah.
Yes.
How is Darlene?
She's doing well. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for asking.
How are you? Well, Jeff Bird, it's a pleasure to meet you. Are you the new guy?
I'm the new guy.
Oh my goodness. So are these guys
I'm
hating
learning.
you?
I'm learning a lot.
Okay, that's great. Hey, tell me, how are you?
Good to see you.
That's fine. She's great. Yeah. She's all right. She's at work. Oh,
Yeah.
you're trying to stay out of trouble.
Yes.
Good to see you.
Yes. Too.
I'm Jeff Hurd.
Bill Doran. Yeah.
I have you.
I'm
This is the
learning.
guy that actually gave you a lot of trouble, the administrator.
Yes.
So
Yes. He does. He does. So
this does look like the newest.
it's
Yeah.
polished, shiny.
Yeah, don't have dust on
He
it yet.
doesn't have any knobs yet, but he will. Yes. So,
Really
Representative, we're gonna. Yes, my
my
executive assistant, Lucero.
Jack, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, I think we know. Did I do it? Okay. Okay. Oh, what? What?
Audio check, Krista. We good?
Yes, sir. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Well, we're going to get this meeting officially. You can have a seat right here, Representative. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome all of you to this Las Animas County Board of County Commissioners work session agenda. It is my honor to welcome all of you this morning. Today is April 18, 2025. It is 9:32. I'm going to call this meeting to order. I'm going to ask everyone to rise for an invocation by Commissioner Tony Haas, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance by Representative Byrd.
Lord, thank you for this Easter season. Thank you for your sacrifice on the cross. You gave everything out of love for us. Help us to never take your mercy for granted. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You be seated. Thank you, commissioners. Roll call, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioner Haas?
Here.
Commissioner Lucero?
Here.
Commissioner Lopez?
Here. Thank you. Do we have any changes to the agenda, Mr. Dorenkamp?
No changes, Commissioner.
Thank you, sir. I will entertain a motion.
Move up to the agenda.
Second the motion.
Mr. Haas?
Yes.
Mr. Sir?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes. And once again, for those of you online and those of you here present, I want to give a sincere welcome to the United States Representative for House District 3, a friend of Los Angeles County, and someone that understands what is happening in rural Colorado, Representative Jeff Hurd. And so it is with great honor. I want to just put a couple of things on this beautiful Good Friday that that we are observing. We know that our nation comes together on days such as this. Although the rhetoric of politics will never stop, Representative, we want to thank you. And first of all, I want to thank you for rolling the red carpet when we went to Washington, D.C. It was a great honor to see you there, sir. It was a great honor to see you in action. But it was more than anything else, knowing that we have a friend that represents this part of the United States of America with passion, with vision and perspective. So, sir, the floor is yours. And you can actually, we can turn that phone on, or you can come up to the podium, which, whatever works for you.
Right here, let's see.
Yes. And that is so the individuals online can hear us.
Wonderful.
Yes. I believe it is.
Krista, can you hear?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
She can hear.
Great. Thank you so much, Commissioner, for welcoming me here. It is great to be with you and having this government-to-government meeting, so to speak, and seeing you all. We got to know each other well on the campaign trail, and now here is your elected representative. It's an honor to join you. You know, when I was running, you guys probably heard it a lot when I was running. I know people on the campaign trail certainly heard it. I was running because I felt like rural Colorado was being left behind, and oftentimes our greatest export are our kids. They grow up and they leave and they don't come back. and my fundamental why for running as a son of Colorado. I grew up on the western slope in rural Colorado, as you gentlemen know. My fundamental why for running is to create economic opportunities so that families can, if they want to stay and live and thrive in rural Colorado, and so that our children can, if they want to stay and continue the livelihoods here that all of us have been blessed with. And that's in agriculture. I think that's something that's really important here. I know energy, natural resources, I would love to hear more about that. I know that's one of the items that I think you flagged for me for discussion. Also making sure that we have transportation infrastructure that we need. I'm on three committees in the House of Representatives that I think are especially helpful for the 3rd Congressional District in Los Angeles County included. The first is House Natural Resources. I am on the Subcommittee for Energy and Minerals. And then I've also been named the Chairman of Indian and Insular Affairs, which is, we actually have two tribes, federally recognized tribes here in the 3rd Congressional District in the southwest part of the state. And it's an honor to be named the chairman of that subcommittee. So we oversee issues related to Indian country and the insular territories of the United States, so Puerto Rico and Guam and American Samoa and so on. So that subcommittee, though, or that committee, Natural Resources, has a lot to do with federal lands issues, with energy, with minerals, with taking that wealth from that we have underneath our feet and putting it to good use for economic security, for national security, and so on. So on that committee, I think there's a lot of good things that we can do, particularly working with you here in Los Angeles County for the better of Southeast Colorado. The next committee that I'm on is transportation infrastructure. And I believe that I am the only member of the House of Representatives in Colorado that is a member of that transportation infrastructure committee. And within that committee, I'm on three such committees, aviation, surface transportation, and water infrastructure. So within those three subcommittees, that covers a heck of a lot of important things that I know matter to rural Colorado. They certainly matter in my home in Western Colorado. I suspect they matter to you all here as well. So I need your help in identifying the best and highest needs that you have in this county and making sure that we identify those projects and see what we can do to leverage federal resources to better the lives of the constituents that you and I will serve here in Los Angeles County. Like I said, aviation, surface, roads, bridges. I will tell you that the committee chairman is a gentleman named Sam Graves out of Missouri. He gave clear instructions to us on the transportation infrastructure committee that he wants to get back to basics when it comes to infrastructure, roads, bridges, highways, and so on. We're not looking to fund park projects and train stations. We're looking to fund roads and bridges and highways and that infrastructure that we rely on. I know that matters in rural Colorado. The last committee that I'm on is science, space, and technology. I did not realize how much space and aerospace industry we have here in Colorado, particularly on this side of the state. There are some opportunities there, particularly in the energy. I'm on the energy subcommittee there for research, development, mining. When it comes to uranium, all the important minerals that we need for powering our economy, those sorts of things all are in the jurisdiction of that committee. It's basically the non-defense department side of space, so civilian space exploration. But there's a whole bunch of other things that are with that as well. So those are the three committees that I'm on. I'm working really hard. Commissioner Lopez, when we saw each other, you saw me. I think I was running from meeting to committee meeting and to the House floor to vote. Know that my highest priority is serving the people here in the 3rd Congressional District. And I'll tell everyone that's listening online as well, I'd be honored if you come out to visit. It's not my office in Washington, D.C. It's your office. It's the people of the 3rd Congressional District. I'm just privileged to be able to serve.
Thank you, sir.
In that office. And I welcome my team in Washington. That my highest priority is to meet people from the 3rd Congressional District. It is a long way to get out there. If you make it out there and I'm in Washington, D.C., I will do everything I can to meet with you. County commissioners have a very special role for me and my team in making sure that we're delivering what we need to the people of Colorado and Los Angeles County. I've actually brought here with me a number of my teammates, staff that are helping immediately here is Kathy Garcia. I think you know her.
We may know her.
She worked for Representative Boebert and did great work for Representative Boebert, and she's now my team, making sure that Southeast Colorado is well represented and that your needs get transferred to me, and know that anything that you need, obviously you can come to me directly, but probably the most efficient way is to go to Kathy or to Betsy Bear, who's also here. She's my district director. Back she and she and Kathy knew each other.
Senator Gardner.
From Senator Gardner's office. So they have that working experience in that relationship as well. And last but certainly not least is the new member of my team, James. Here is he is doing a lot of casework and constituent services work. If there's anything that he loves it, he used to work for the Pueblo County Sheriff's Department, and he sees casework and constituent services as kind of like a problem-solving, investigative process, and he likes it. He has a passion for that. So if there's anyone that you know of that needs help with Social Security benefits, veterans issues, immigration issues, and so on, he's a great teammate that I have to deliver on those things. So I brought that team with me here today. And
there's
Chris. Oh my goodness, yes.
I was going to say there's one more individual back there.
I thought it was brought a really important member of my team here. She's actually from Washington, D.C. So the folks that I just introduced are from the district team. We also have a member of our Washington, D.C. team here. His name's Chris N. Chris, wave your hand.
Welcome to Los Angeles County.
This is actually his first time. So he has experience on the Hill. One of the things that I've on the Hill in Washington, D.C., Capitol Hill. One of the things I've learned is it's really important to have that experience, especially for a new member of Congress like me. We need to have somebody that's in D.C. that's been there for a while that understands how things work, how to get projects funded and so on, how to work within the oftentimes complex bureaucratic process in Washington. Chris is that guy. He has a lot of experience on the Hill. His specialty areas, and this is something that I hope matters to you all here, are agriculture. That's actually his greatest passion. But also transportation infrastructure. And his previous boss before he came to me was a gentleman from North Carolina named David Rouser, who is currently the chair of the Highways and Transit Subcommittee in House of Representatives. So, and that's, I told you, I'm a member of that committee as well. So when it comes to service and roads issues, infrastructure, Chris is a great asset there. So. Yeah, that's right. I have my district folks here, but I also brought some from Washington, D.C. as well. This is his first time in Colorado. He's visited the Denver airport before once, but I say that doesn't count for visiting Colorado. Real Colorado is right here in rural Colorado in Los Angeles County. And so we're taking him on a tour around the district and making sure that he understands and knows face-to-face the people that he's serving in Washington, D.C. as well. With that, commissioners, I know that you have some issues that you catch flag if you'd like to discuss, but I would say I mostly want to be in a listening mode. Let me know what your top issues are, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have, but just know fundamentally that it's an honor to represent you in the United States Congress, and me, you will have somebody that's sincere, hardworking, and wants to be responsive, and wants to do right by the Southeast Colorado and Los Angeles County, and I will never forget my rural roots, where I came from in this district, and who I'm serving, and that includes the people of Los Angeles County. So thank you very much. Mr. Chairman, I'll turn it back over to
you. Thank you, sir. Well, first of all, I want to, Chris, by the way, we are the largest county in the state of Colorado, landmass, and we like it that way. We have, so with that, we have a lot of needs. You mentioned, Representative, transportation infrastructure. One of the things that in this particular county that we have had, we would like to have, and then of course, when you look at that, I look at the back of the room, we have an airport that is being revived and revamped. We have an operator back in the room that comes from military background experience, and he's doing a fantastic, phenomenal job. We are hoping that Los Angeles County will once and for all begin to unearth the challenges of running an airport with the opportunities to provide not only a commercial transportation, but in the near future, possibly even just passenger transportation. So later on, perhaps we can provide more information. It's too lengthy to go into the whole thing. But let me, with that, of course, as I was thinking, you know, what are some of the questions? One of the direct funding opportunities that we may have in conversations with our county administrator, year in, year out, we put in requests, and then, of course, you know, we are going to continue to do that. So we have a lot of needs at the airport. But one of the other needs that I'm also going to be highlighting for you is off road, off main highway. We have I-25, we have 160, 350. Those are arteries that connect Trinidad, Las Animas County with other, La Junta. Then we go all the way into Kansas. And then in between, we have a lot of county roads that are pretty much in one of the best conditions. We host one of the largest gravel grinding events on gravel roads. We have had a recognition at the national level. We had a reporter from Washington, D.C. that came and did an article in Las Animas County because we host these bike riding events. If you want to come and ride 100 miles, we have it here. 70 miles, we have it here. And so we get individuals attending this particular event from all over the world. I had an opportunity to meet some participants from the European, from the UK. So certainly we're putting our name on the map. But here is my question to you, sir, is some of those bridges that are located within those county roads, although we have a fund in the state of Colorado, that fund is barely funded, you know, $3-4 million, I believe, what we have on that fund. But some of those bridges, we would like to get some direct funding for the replacement and or rehabilitation of those bridges on county roads. And let me give you, let me tell you why. In the event that there's a closure on I-25 on one of the main arteries, what happens then? Traffic is now diverted too. And they'll begin, as a human being, I'll go to Google. How do I go from here bypassing, you know, we have a closure here because of inclement weather. So now you have heavy trucks traveling through county roads, and some of the bridges may be restricted. So from that perspective, we have an inventory of highly needed replacements and or upgrades. So that's going to be one of the things, you know, for me, as we look at this transportation infrastructure, and we know that funding is one of those things that it's elusive, but we also know that as counties, we have to provide those services for anyone that is coming through our county. So that's kind of an overall umbrella. And then, of course, later on, I would like us to, if you would, touch on and ease the fears that we keep on hearing that Social Security is going to be cut. The Social Security is going to be impacted down to the bone. And with that, we have a population as well here in Las Animas County of over, I believe it's close to 1,500 veterans, retired veterans. So, and we have a veteran service officer within Las Animas County that does a fantastic, phenomenal job. But the Veterans Administration also, they seem to have this fear looming over them that some of those benefits are going to be impacted. So I have a few more, but I want to yield back to you, sir, and then the floor to my fellow commissioners as well.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Lopez. So first, on the county bridges, the infrastructure priorities, we actually brought with us documents. Chris has them that we can give you after this meeting. We can give it to our bill that will allow you to help us identify those key infrastructure projects you're getting ready within Transportation Infrastructure Committee to look at funding for projects. And I need your help in identifying what those key projects would be. And we have a form that will allow you to prioritize what those are here in Los Angeles County, simply because we have a limited amount of resources that we can direct. And so having your guidance and input on what matters the most and what the best use of taxpayer dollars would be is something that would be very helpful for us. So we're going to give you a copy of that. We can make a copy of that. And that, with respect to those projects, please help us identify those. And Chris will work with you, Betsy, and Kathy, and James. We can work together in making sure that we prioritize those projects and do what we can to get the funding to the projects that need the most with respect to those bridges.
The information on the airport has already been sent my Los Angeles County, and I haven't sent that in yet, but it's, I do have that.
Okay. That's great to know. Yeah, I was talking to your FBO operator here just very briefly, and we're talking about some of the operations that, are happening at the airport. And if there are other items that we could be helping on and with under my aviation subcommittee jurisdiction, please let me know.
If I can chime in, Commissioner touched upon it a bit about funding, and we realize that we have a lot of bridges and other infrastructure that need to be, frankly, replaced. But when we chose to send that congressionally directed spending request for the airport, is we're also looking at trying to increase our economic viability, and with the reduction in the usage of fossil fuels, and, you know, out west here, our coalbed methane gas, we foresee that eventually, perhaps, maybe not going away, being reduced year after year after year. So we're looking at trying to figure out a way to, you know, diversify our economy. So that's why we chose with the CDS to go after the airport and the taxi. I don't know, I'm getting into the weeds a bit here, but that's also to try and bring in more traffic out of the airport. So that's why we chose it over the bridges. But I've got two bridges here that I'm looking at right now for just under $1.6 million that are at a sufficiency level, I believe, of about 20. And in the old days when the state used to rate those, anything 50 and above, you didn't have to replace. Anything 50 and below, they recommended the state, CDOT recommended that they be replaced.
And those are rated at 20 right now?
I believe they're 20, 23-ish. Okay. Again, we know that they need to be replaced. But
you might mention Port Carson and Pinion Canyon with the airport?
Yes. Yeah.
Where?
The, you know, one of the great activities, operator, the FBO, Mr. Otto, one of the things that he has been able to accomplish that we have tried, and because now we have a permanency of someone that operates and knows and understands the airport activities, I believe that we are serving Pinon Canyon, if you will, that is Fort Carson, a branch of Fort Carson. We, in a couple of occasions, we've been there where they're landing at Los Angeles County Airport and they're fueling. And I know we have, I don't want to presume to know the number of gallons, but we have probably 300% increase on the sale of fuel to the air traffic that we have. And so one of the things, you know, that we have is also a very good relationship, if you will, with the all the way from the general at Fort Carson. They attended a meeting here last week to the garrison commander. And they understand that in order for all of us to build good community is by collaborating and partnering. And of course, using the services that we offer at the airport. The traffic, of course, is commercial. Might be minimal in comparison, but it's there. So there is a great opportunity for expansion. There is a great opportunity. And right outside of the footprint of the airport, we also have a feasibility study to do an industrial park. And this whole thing is going to give an opportunity to put a blueprint of a few manufacturers, which we believe we'll be able to accomplish with the FBO that we currently have, so we can attract manufacturing to Los Angeles County. And if this whole thing were to happen now, the airport, right now, we have the infrastructure, in a sense, is not quite there. We have, we're working on, we need water, we need sewer, we need other amenities, but that in the long term, I may not be in office to see that, but nonetheless, the progress and the research, it's in place. And we believe that that diversification of the economy begins right there.
And if I could, one more comment, something I forgot to mention too. It's also a safety issue out there at the airport. Rather than having planes taxi back and forth on the runway itself, and to give us the opportunity to put those planes over on the taxiway to get into the terminal fueling locations. So.
So there's currently not a taxiway at the airport?
No.
That's helpful. Let me look at that congressionally directed spending request. Let's talk about that. I'm excited especially when you talk about an industrial park and growing, manufacturing, creating an economic climate, a regulatory climate that's predictable and stable and not over regulatory, that can attract investment. I could see how an airport would be a huge advantage in that location as well. That's the sort of thing that I ran for Congress to help promote, or things like industrial parks, bringing manufacturing back. That said, supporting our ag community, though, too. Cannot lose our producers, our farmers, ranchers. What we're doing, I don't feel, obviously, you know, if the people here feel differently, then I'm probably going to defer to you all, but I'm hoping that you want to keep ag and have that be a, continue to be a bedrock of the economy. So keeping the things that make Los Angeles County, also expanding them as well from an economic standpoint, very important to me. So I'm excited by the idea of an industrial park, creating something along those lines and seeing what we can do from a federal perspective to help facilitate that, while also making sure that we protect our farmers and ranchers and the people who put food on our plates. So yes, help me identify what these priorities are, with its bridges, airport. Let's identify those and let's get to work on our end and see what we can do. Commissioner, you mentioned also Social Security. I just want to make sure that I touch on that. It is a commitment from my perspective that we keep Social Security, strengthen Social Security, preserve Social Security. In the budget discussions that are happening right now, Social Security and changing it is not on the table, period. It's not on the reconciliation rules in the House. So, and my commitment is we need to grow, we need to strengthen Social Security, preserve it for those that have paid into it over their lives. And we need to make sure also that we're looking at solvency long-term. So for folks that are younger, like myself, we may need to look at reforms, but those reforms are to be in strengthening and preserving Social Security, making sure that people, particularly those in Los Angeles County, but throughout rural Colorado, who are relying on those Social Security checks that they paid into and that they deserve, and that the government is obligated to pay, that they get consistently, without interruption, and without any question about those benefits will continue.
And they're not an entitlement. We paid into those. We've earned that.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's important that many of our legislators need to know that. It's not an entitlement.
That's a great comment. Mr. Haas, I appreciate that. And that is exactly right. Medicaid, I didn't mention Medicaid, that's been in the news lately as well. I suspect that there's a Medicaid population that's here in Los Angeles County. That's something that's important to me, making sure that people who need Medicaid the most continue to get it. Pregnant women, single parents, children, the disabled. We're working right now in Congress on a budget process that has been in the news with respect to Medicaid, and my commitment there again is wanting to strengthen and preserve Medicaid, but also making sure that we look at things like work requirements and making sure that folks who need it, those Medicaid dollars are being used most effectively for the people who need it most. So that's something that I look forward to talking to you about as well. Veterans, 1,500 veterans in Los Angeles County, that's another group that's made a solemn commitment to our country, and that we owe veterans, particularly our service disabled veterans, but not only our service disabled veterans, all of our veterans, the best health care and the benefits that they are owed. It's an obligation that our country made in exchange for their selfless sacrifice to our country. If you hear of anything with respect to veterans benefits, or I haven't had heard of any confirmed cuts to veteran services here through the congressional district, I'm looking back at that team. If you hear any different rumors, but when we look into those, it turns out that it's already something by not related to DOGE or what was happening to the presidential administration. If you hear of anything else, let me know. Anything contrary, or if you hear veterans that need service, that is one of the most important jobs that I have, is making sure that those veterans, our seniors, get the care and benefits that our government owes them. It's an obligation. And so let me know if you hear any of those things, let Kathy know, Betsy, and we will make sure that we look into those as soon as we can. And let's see. I will also tell you, I met the president, President Trump, in the Oval Office a couple weeks ago and mentioned that I'm from Colorado, Southern. I represent Southern and Western Colorado. And I reiterated to him that rural Colorado, he has a ton of support in rural Colorado, and that it's important that he recognizes that. You hear a lot of stories in the news about Colorado. And I think sometimes the president sees what's in the news and understands that there are seeds, maybe that there are parts of Colorado that are maybe antagonistic to some of the administration's priorities. I let him know that there's a substantial portion of Colorado, including the district I represent, that is aligned on issues like energy, having a secure border, making sure that families are thriving, making sure that we protect agricultural producers, and doing all that we can to grow our country and make it as great as it can be. So that's something also that I conveyed to the president directly in the Oval Office when I met him a couple weeks ago.
That's good. He needs to know the blue collar workers supporting.
That's right. That's
yeah, right. That small sliver of blue up there where the population base is the one that's making all the rhetoric right now.
Commissioner Harris, talk about the agriculture and also your involvement with waters, with the waters of the United States.
And I don't want to. I know Commissioner Lucero is also involved in ag pretty heavily, and I don't want to dominate that conversation in case he has something that he would like to talk about. But making a regional hub right here with a processing plant out there at our industrial park would be a great opportunity, not only just for labor, but not only that, but for succession to keep our children here and make that ranching more viable. If we could keep those dollars circulating in our community instead of taking our cattle to Lahana and then having them shipped from Lahana to a processing plant somewhere else or another feedlot somewhere else, if we could manage that right here and keep that $40 billion, you know, that we talk about that we generate in ag here in the community. That what is the old adage? It turns over, every dollar turns over seven times. I think we could really incentivize that agriculture production would actually help keep our children right here in Los Angeles County. They wouldn't have to move somewhere else. Water is a huge issue. I was part of that WOTUS task force when I was really concerned when the Sackett case got through. I was ecstatic. I was on the WOTUS task force before that happened. And I kept telling them, we need to slow down and wait until we find out where the Sackett case ends up so that we don't put the cart before the horse, make all these rules and regs for Colorado, and then have to start over. They didn't want to hear that. And now we have our own Colorado program, water program, that supersedes the federal WOTUS, which is really going to make it difficult for ag. And
what's the snowpack? And what does the water situation look like here at this point?
I think we're at 60% is where we're at right now, correct? Mm-hmm. We're at 60% snowpack. Hopefully tonight we can pick that up to maybe 80%. They're talking about 2 feet of snow in the mountains, but yeah, it's concerning where our water is. I fought pretty hard for our small in-stream flows, also for our erosion control ponds that we have here in Los Alamos County. We got two amendments introduced to that WOTUS bill to protect those. Some of those are our sole source of water. So a spring up under the Rimrock serves a 15,000 acre ranch. It's a sole source of water. And with the current Colorado program, they were going to eliminate that. And that would have been devastating for Los Animas and Huerfano counties, any of these counties that are around these, you know, extreme elevation changes. You know, the water that we derive up under the Rimrock It flows down. All right. We go from 10,000 feet to 4,000 feet in about 100 miles. And erosion control ponds were very critical to keep that soil here in Los Animas County and not in Hasty Lake down by Lamar. That was the argument that I made that actually got us the amendment. I want to touch a little bit on what he was talking about with transportation too. We've had two cattle plots in Los Animas County turn over, and our Highway 160 and 350 have no shoulders. They stop at the, if you've driven those, they're awful narrow. If you meet a wide load coming and you try to get over, and for instance, in November when we had the 4-foot snow, the shoulders were really soft and those trucks would get over. And sometimes you've only got a foot of clearance between the mirrors, between your truck and the other semi that you meet. And you get over just a little bit and the cattle do this, pulls you off onto the shoulder. If the shoulder's soft, you're going to dump it. And that's what happened. And, you know, you got 40 head of cattle laying dead. You have to put some of them down on the side of the road. It's a huge safety hazard. Not only does it pull them off, but then when they overcorrect to bring it back up, it lays it down in the middle of the highway and they take out a passenger car. If there was any way, and I made this argument at CDOT, and they put us on the 10-year priority, but I see they pulled it off now. They don't see the value in having it. If you go up here just past Honey, say the Honey turn there, and you go about 2 miles, you're going to see where those trucks have got over and crushed the asphalt past the white line up into the highway. And that's from meeting those trucks, and it pulls them off. But to me, that's a concern, that if there's any way we can get any help with that.
And John, or Commissioner Haas, you said this was on the state's transportation improvement project list. Was it on the STIP or was it?
It was on the 10-year plan, and then it was removed. Okay. And six years ago, I raised enough stink that they put it on there. And one of our other commissioners, he was in charge of the CDOT and TPR, and that argument wasn't continually brought up. Now, you know, I see that it's gone. But
yeah, that's something we'll need to talk with Chris about, because I know that that's one of the, from the federal perspective, when we look at the projects, one of the important factors is it on that list or not. It's not determinative, but it's something that we look at. So let's see what we can do in that regard as well.
CDOT funds are being pulled because of the current state of the state budget for Colorado. They're trying to balance the budget. They're stealing from every department. I'm on the Environmental Impact Assistance Fund Committee, appointed by my favorite governor, Polis. And you know better. But I argue a lot that our heavily impacted communities should be entitled to that money first, and they're using it for the other pet projects. That money's been robbed too from EIF. $25 million of a full round has been taken out of that. We rely heavily on those monies to handle our infrastructure like we were talking about, bridges, our gravel roads. We do a few paving projects, but the money's being directed more now toward housing affordability or something, and affordable housing and yeah, Kathy knows what I'm talking about. We need to keep that to where it belongs and used for these heavily impacted counties. I think there's only two now that rank 10 on the impact score out of 1 to 10, and Los Animas County is one of them, because we're heavily impacted by our gas industry and our helium industry now. And our helium industry is growing, so we know that, in fact, we just had what do you call it?
Public hearing.
Say it again.
Public hearing.
Public hearing the other day for another helium booster station, and that entails 14 miles of road Who's going to pay for that? Well, we've tried to put the onus on the operators, and they're pushing back pretty hard because that cuts into their, you know, their bottom line. And now without our EIF funding, and we know it's going to be cut a full round, that's concerning to us. And we want to see that the production continue, but we don't want to price them out to where they can't do business here in Los Angeles County. But if we can't build those roads up for them, they're going to go somewhere else. So that's a concern.
Can I ask where else is Los Angeles County seeing cuts related to state budget specifically, and or where are you anticipating seeing those cuts from the state level? Just so that I have a sense of how things go.
CPW, DNR, all of they've all had their budgets cut and hiring freezes. And the only department that I can think of that hasn't is, and I attend those monthly meetings as the CDA commission. They've had 300 employees in the last 6 years that they've acquired, and maybe six in the last month. And because of the wolf reintroduction, there's a lot of it. We got range riders now, and that money, talk about a waste of money. So we got 10 wolves in the first release, and there's six of those left at a cost of $5.4 million. I mean, if you're going to be fiscally responsible, that's not doing it. And every year it's going to increase from there on, the cost of those wolves. They just released another 12. Two of them are gone. It's ridiculous. And it's costing us ag producers. And the wolves haven't reached us yet. We do have wolves that migrated here naturally, yes, and they're up in the Stonewall area. But we hope, thank goodness, we haven't had any of the collared wolves reach us yet. And every aspect of that program, there were promises made and never kept. And that's a stinky project, let me tell you. There's so many things that are wrong with that program.
I can tell you that shared throughout the congressional district, Northwest Colorado, distinctly, and it's our ag producers, yes. It's also our outfitters.
Well. Oh, absolutely.
And they're not compensated for depredation of the elk herds, and it is such a huge economic driver there for our producers that are being devastated, right, at risk of serious, serious devastation. Also, our outfitters hunting. I understand, and we're working to see what we can do in that regard when it comes to the 10JHU and allowing for better management of wolves and seeing ways in which we could also look at stopping the inflow of wolves as well. So considering those things, I know there's some of those discussions on the state level.
Be quiet, I know Mr. Lucero has things to talk.
Well, I agree with on the transportation and with Tony with the ag. My son has stayed in the ranching business. He's a young rancher, and he is up in the Stonewall area. My concern is with the wolves. Eventually, they will get down into that area. His type of ranching, it's a specialized type of ranching where, I mean, it's a cow-calf operation, but he does a lot of embryo transfers. So a lot of DNA on him. If a wolf kills a calf, I think they only give you up to 15,000. I mean, I've seen young baby calves probably worth $100,000 based on the DNA. Well, you know, on a young rancher like him, it would be devastating to him. So, and I, you know, our area has been, we've seen coal come and go. You got gas, you know, it's here now. It's kind of declined. Agriculture's been here for hundreds of years, and it will remain here. It's not an easy life. Tony can, you know, I mean, it's just not. So to keep a young person in the ag industry, we need to make sure that he has all the benefits he can and without obstacles. My other concern is many of you are a long way from Social Security. There's a few of us in here that are there. And that my concern is that Social Security is going to be solvent for the duration and of my years, as well as for the younger people. So,
Commissioner Lucero, can I ask? And if I understand that you might just be speaking in your individual capacity, and that the county commission might not have taken a position on this issue, or maybe you have. Can you talk to me about the Farm Bill and what you think? Is that reauthorization something that's important to the producers that are here? Is that something that you as commissioners believe is an important priority to get the Farm Bill reauthorized?
100%.
I wrote a 24 items on a piece of paper and submitted it to Hickenlooper when he was here. They were working on the Farm Bill then, that we were told. And it's my understanding we're operating on the 2008 Farm Bill, correct?
2018 Farm Bill.
2018. And now the prices are three times. Yeah. So it's not even relevant at this point.
Yeah.
And yeah, we need to have a Farm Bill that addresses the needs now. And it feels like agriculture is just a forethought, something that's been pushed off to the side, that like they're trying to squeeze ag out of existence with tourism, with every commission and committee that I sit on. We're talking about these wildlife corridors up here on our gas production. And when the wolf gets here, I told him, when the wolf gets here, he'll pressure those corridors to move. You've shut down excavation and drilling in this corridor because of you know, your concerns with the wildlife. And when the wolf comes, he's going to move that corridor. We know that they're going to give to pressure. Then are you going to open this old corridor back up? Because I know you're going to shut this corridor down. No. So what they're doing is they're just squeezing ag out of existence. And I don't know how you can help us with that. I'm just complaining so you can hear what I have to say. But I sit on the Colorado Outdoor Partnership. I found out that they were going to try to introduce agritourism into private property, which is the southern end of Colorado. I'm going to be sitting on a panel in a week at their summit when the governor does his grand opening, basically. It's a celebration. Well, this is a work in progress. We're not even there yet. I didn't get involved until 18 months ago, and there was no private property owner. There was no ag producer. County government wasn't represented, and they'd been making these rules since 2017. And I said, excuse me, but you've been pretty successful on public property on the western slope and up on the northwest corner. But when you get to southern Colorado, you're going to be dealing with private property. 90% of that property is private property. Here's the catch-all. One of the gentlemen that runs Nature Conservancy, and I'm not going to mention his name, said, but Commissioner, do you realize that 40% of those properties are in some form of conservation easement? That's scary. That set up red flags for me. They're going to use that as an avenue to access private property? No, we can't have that happen. And not forcibly. If it's a voluntary, yes. And I'll be talking about that next week on this panel. But I'm not totally in support. I'm going to bring up the concerns on that panel. And it's not going to go well because the governor wants this thing to fly off as rainbows and unicorns. You know, it doesn't have all the rainbows and unicorns. It's still got some issues.
You know, Representative, I think I'm going to read, I just was researching as Commissioner Haas and Commissioner Lucero were talking about this. Colorado's economy, the agricultural community provides 170,000 jobs in Colorado. and it also exports over $2 billion of product. I would like to see if there is a way that we can narrow that down to the third congressional, how important and imperative that is. And Colorado has about 30 million acres of farmland and 36,000 farm operations. This is huge, and yet, as Commissioner Tony has, sometimes it is the stepchild of simply because political aspirations of some. My also one of the comments, let me make a comment, then I'm going to ask a question on fire mitigation on federal lands, because that's so important. Los Angeles County, to the west part of the county, we have we just had a meeting before this one where we entertained the opportunity to apply for a grant to do fire mitigation purposes. But one thing that I hope that the federal government as a whole across the aisle see the challenges that Western United States has when it comes to fire. In a lot of those sections, especially as you go into your home county representative, you'll see on I-70 that bill killed. And it just is not when, I mean, not if, but when a fire is going to ignite. Here in Los Angeles County, we also have, we're going to be engaging in a study to see where are the most fire-prone areas. Without a study, I can tell you the western part of the county, probably at any day, especially with the drought that we are seeing. And so that's going to be a question for you to continue to advocate for the fire mitigation within your entire district. I think that is that's a huge mandate. On this, my question to you is, I hope this thing is going to be put to rest forever, you know, the 30 by 30. We heard that forever, and we've attended so many meetings where this thing became almost a daily conversation. By 2030, the United States federal government will own 30% of the land, including oceanic waters, and for the purposes of what? You know, this, as Commissioner has mentioned, land acquisition should be equal cost of replacement and or fair market value. And I am so honored to tell you that this group of county commissioners will not consider eminent domain just for the sake of, and that is so huge to us.
Thank you, Commissioner. I would say, look, I support conservation. I want clean air, clean land, clean water, but 30 by 30 raises serious concerns for me. And I think it's going to be used to restrict the very communities who have stewarded these lands and resources for generations. And I think what we're talking about, particularly when it comes to unilateral presidential designations without local input, without local oversight, is contrary to what we stand for in America and in the West. So I have serious concerns about 30 by 30, and I think it's being used oftentimes as a backdoor way to undermine energy production and act. And so I say this to somebody, I know all of you, you want clean air, clean land, clean water, you want to preserve the best of the West, of Western landscapes, part of our heritage, absolutely. But I'm opposed to a command and control, unilateral, governmental, designating of lands, and that's what I feel like 30 by 30 is. So,
do you have any updates on the Dolores land acquisition that was there for a long time? I mean, it just covered national news. Is that pretty much thing of the past?
So there are two different parts of the Dolores River that have been in discussion recently. There is the southern part of the Dolores, the what's called the upper Dolores, remember, and something flows down. The southern southwest part of Colorado, there is a national conservation area that's being discussed. We're currently, Senator Hickenlooper is introduced, or is about to introduce legislation for that NCA, for a potential national conservation area in that part of the state. Representative Boker did co-sponsor that in the last Congress. I'm looking at that and looking to co-sponsor that, particularly given that it has local input. We've had stakeholders that participated in that. The one thing that I want to make sure is that we're not unnecessarily restricting mining in that area, and that we have a balance, particularly given our geopolitical situation changing with respect to China and Russia and needing to source critical minerals and uranium, things that are essential to our economy and national security. like I said, I want to balance the conservation piece with the national security and the economic opportunity that's there for the people of our district. And so making sure that we land that in the right place is something that is important to me. So I would like to be able to co-sponsor that legislation, because I think it's an example of what conservation should be like locally. But I just want to make sure that all those stakeholders are involved, and that includes the folks that have mining interests there, and we're not unnecessarily restricting that potential for national security, for economic security for the district.
And not limit ag.
And not limit ag. Yes, yeah, sir. I have nothing as far as I'm concerned. I will tell you also with respect to 5 minutes, 5 minute signal here, that I'm going to have to wrap up in just a minute. With respect to the Lower Dolores, which is a little bit further up, there was serious concern that President Biden would designate that unilateral disalignment. That would have been a serious mistake, from my perspective. 500,000 acres is the number that I heard. There have been some discussions about a national conservation area there. I don't know what the status of this is, Commissioner, right now. So we'll have to see what that is. I'm actually in district this week and next week, and some of those meetings will be to update what's going on there. If I could just circle back really quickly on, you mentioned, Commissioner Lopez, the agriculture reforms of agriculture to our state. Our ranchers, our farmers are some of the best environmentalists in the world. They contribute so much to our economy, and they're also an essential part of the fabric of who we are in Colorado and in the West. And I say this as part of the 98% that is not an ag. I did not realize the sacrifices that our producers have to make in order to put food on our tables and how important it is to preserve that. You have an advocate in me. Even though I'm part of that 98%, that's not involved in ag. But that gives me a better perspective also how to explain it to my fellow 98% that's not in ag, all the ways that we can be doing better.
Well, let me give you a number, and Chris, a number. 31.6 million in 2022 of cattle production, of cattle sold out of this county. Could you imagine? It's probably tripled now because the price of beef has tripled. And if we can keep those dollars in Los Angeles County and circulating?
That would be a huge plus.
Yeah.
I also want to let you know a couple things ag-related. I've introduced legislation that would permanently bring back the Bureau of Land Management headquarters to Colorado, Western Colorado specifically.
Great.
President Trump moved them by executive order. President Biden back to Washington, D.C. This legislation would permanently locate Bureau of Land Management headquarters in Western Colorado. The idea being to manage the lands, the leadership decisions with respect to land that need to be made where the lands are located, which is out here in the West. And I think that's a good thing for ag in making sure that our producers, we can fulfill the multiple use mandate under the Federal Land Management Policy Act of 1976 and make sure that conservation on its own isn't viewed to exclude energy and ag. I think there's a way to make sure that we have this balance. And the best way to do that is, one of the good ways to do that is by having the decision makers here on the ground in Colorado. Also, with respect to resource management plans, I've introduced legislation, the Productive Public Lands Act. It's legislation that I've introduced that would reverse 9 of the Biden era resource management plans, that 4 of those are in Colorado. I'm working with a number of different other Western legislators in their districts in Montana, Wyoming, and Oregon. But there are a number of resource management plans that I think overstep with respect to energy and ag, and making sure that we bring those back to the right balance for that multiple use mandate. So that's also something I'm doing to help with ag. Water, working hard to make sure that we do everything we can to expand. We have a changing hydrology here in the West. You gentlemen know that. We need to do everything that we can to increase water storage. Also making sure that we keep as much water here in Colorado as possible, and that our down-basin cousins in Arizona, Nevada, and California live within their water budgets. They haven't been. We have them here in Colorado. Working hard to make sure that we secure $40 million of funding for a Shoshone Water Project, water right, which I realize that's on the western slope, but remember that we do have Trans Mountain versions from the Colorado River Basin into the Northern Arkansas Basin. And so water in the West matters to this part of the state as well. So making sure that we secure that water right, that will help, I think, all of us in Colorado preserving that water right. So I'm going to be pushing hard for that. And then Fix Our Forest Act, Commissioner Lopez, you were talking about wildfire management and make sure that we manage our force properly. Actually, my first speech as on the floor of the House of Representatives in the United States Congress was in favor of the Fix Our Forest Act. This has important permitting reform with respect to managing our forests, making sure that we're sensible in how we approach this vital resource. It's not just a forest issue, that's critical. You're right, it's a wildfire hazard, but it's also a watershed management too. If we have a devastating wildfire and a forest that's not been managed properly, that's going to affect all of us. And that's something that gets me particularly concerned. And when you talk about the snowpack being only 60%, if I am not able to get back on the Grand Junction net because there's a huge snowstorm, that would be very happy. You will not hear me complain. That would be a great reason to have that not happen because there's so much snow. But doing what I can to make sure that we responsibly manage our forests, our water resources, our storage projects, those are all things that are priorities. They're not super sexy. I realize you're not going to read about it on the front page of the national newspaper or see it on Fox or CNN, but those things matter to me. And know that with me and Congress, I have a commitment to deliver on those things that are good for Los Angeles County, for the 3rd Congressional District more broadly.
Representative Hurd, we want to thank you on behalf of, I see Kathy's already packing up. We want to thank you on behalf of Los Angeles County and your constituents here, and know that you always have a forum, whether it's virtually, and anytime you want to give us an update, we'll set up the meeting. So thank you for visiting Los Angeles County and for your entire group of personnel. We have your contact information. Kathy, I think we go back probably 20 years. Well, and yes. So, you know, from that perspective, I just parting comments. Thank you. Much appreciated your information and your accessibility to your constituents. From time to time, I'll send a text and I get a response, and I like that.
So one comment I want to make is tell your wife thank you, because the sacrifices that she's making for you to be up there and the sacrifices you're making,
yes,
thank you so much.
I appreciate that. She's all in. Our family's all in. People believe in us.
Very good.
She's up in rural Colorado. She's on board 100%. The only thing she doesn't like is that she's not able to come everywhere. The kids aren't able to come everywhere. But we need to get them here to Los Angeles County. I hope that there'll be time to bring the whole family here. And we can see some of that great hospitality and enjoy some of that great beef and great produce that you have here.
Very good. We'll have some prime rib.
Very good.
I think that is a promise.
Okay.
Commissioners, at this time, I think we're going to take, if it's okay with you, let's take a moment of recess, 5-10 minutes, and then we'll come back and have the next item on the agenda. Motion?
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Searle?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, thank you. We'll be back in about 5-10 minutes.
Got a new card. I'm going to throw the old one away. Can
you again? Thank you. It's so good to meet you. Thanks for the information on the airport.
Same trip.
Yes, sir.
Session on this April 18, 2025.
So moved.
Second.
Mr. Searle?
Yes.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes, thank you. Now we're going to go to 2B, discussion with Perry Stokes Airport FBO, Mr. Evan Otto. Good morning, sir. I want to welcome you. And certainly, before we open up this part of the day on this Good Friday. I just want to thank you for the work that has been taking place on that part of our county. Congratulations to you and your team. All we hear is positive feedback. So the opportunity for us as a county to partner with your entity to grow and expand the service at the airport, very welcome. So good morning, and the floor is yours, sir.
Excellent. Yeah, thank you so much for the time. Talk about a tough act to follow. And thank you for all the kind words. And it's really good to see that while we had a military catalyst for growth at the airport, you know, my question to you going back 18 months now has been, how do we take the growth out of the military side and use that to better benefit the community? And it looks like we're on a path for that. So I'm really excited about that. What I put in front of you today is sort of the next step in that development, which is taking advantage of a Department of Defense grant that's been offered to build mutually beneficial infrastructure at the airport that funded privately or funded through the FAA would probably take us 2 decades to get to. Huge project. What you've got in front of you is two things. We've got a current operations summary. That's the charts and graphs. And I'll refer to that a few times as we're talking about this. And then the other one is a collection of a endorsement for the grant to the military. And it has Exhibit A and an Exhibit B on it. Exhibit A talks through the grant itself, so the summary of what projects apply, what we're looking for, and how much is available. And Exhibit B is the project strategy. So, in a nutshell, Defense Community Infrastructure Program funds DOD projects off of military installations. So, anything that supports DOD activities but is not on DOD funded land. Examples of what's being funded in the 2024 request is airport expansions, Pensacola Airport, utilities infrastructure at Peterson Air Force Base in Colorado Springs, and even schools and kindergartens in Fountain, Colorado, where most military students attend or military members. The focus of this grant is going to shift in 2025 to projects that facilitate military readiness. Readiness can be anywhere from training quality to maintenance effectiveness. You know, for an aviation fleet, how many of my helicopters can fly, that equals readiness. They're all broken, and I'm not ready for a flight. So the projects that we would like to submit for in this year's grant application that I'm proposing to submit for are twofold. The first one is an 11,000 square foot hangar facility, and the other one is a dedicated hot refuel facility. And these projects are shown in detail in Exhibit B. But there's some big benefits to these projects for both GA and the military, as well as my business and more county. There's a lot of universal benefit here. So the first project is the hangar. I would argue that this is the single biggest obstruction to future aircraft growth. I don't have part numbers on it. My estimate is that we've lost 60 to 75 private jet reservations, refuels per year, because we don't have a hangar to actually put these aircraft in. So the archetype for that is plane will land, hunters will get off, and they'll be taken out to one of the hunting ranches west of town. The jet will not have somewhere to store inside, and with Colorado weather, you're taking your life in your own hands. So instead, the aircraft will park in Pueblo or Alamosa. They'll find hangar space there.
Sure. But speaking of the Pueblo airport, recently they have been on the news. I don't know if there's going to be any opportunity to connect that spoke and find the apex between Las Animas County Airport and Pueblo. Going to have several flights from Pueblo to Denver on a weekly basis. Mm-hmm. And so, although it would be almost an impossibility to calculate if Las Animas County would be, and now I'm talking a whole different, probably spoke of the whole thing, but nonetheless, recently they took that. And so you can tell that small airports through rural America are being supported through either investment from private public partnerships or exactly what you're doing here. But I just wanted to put that out there as something to perhaps for you to even look into.
I don't know if you had a chance to look at the 10-year airport development roadmap that I produced. That's probably going back about 6 weeks now. But really at the time, that was the focus, is how do we take the steps now to ensure that our airport is ready for all the Essential Air Service, which is subsidized, federally subsidized commercial air carrier service, or for private charter in the future. So it's taking the steps down, make sure the airport's systems and people are ready for that lift. Alamosa went through that approximately 10 or 15 years ago now, and their people weren't ready for it, and they ended up taking a $6 million FAA fine, $4 to $6 million, because they have fire service covering and they violated one of the terms of the agreement. So it can be good for your community, and it can also burn you if you're not building towards that from the start.
Yeah, I was at a meeting where the Alamosa, I believe you might have been as well, Mr. Dorenkamp, where they described what not to do when it came to airports. And then, of course, we came out of that meeting looking at each other. It's like, are we on the right track? That was, I think, prior to your arrival. And so from that perspective, the 11,000 square foot facility, how many aircraft would you be able to house at once?
So we sell this to the DoD by telling them that we can house a platoon of Black Hawks, 3 medevac helicopters in that facility.
Okay.
That is what they'll have to station out of Pinyon Canyon. Anytime they have big ground troop deployments out there, they'll have 2 to 3 Black Hawk helicopters. And it's very dangerous for them because if weather rolls in, they have nowhere to run out there. They're just out in the country limits, and they call the fire station. Sit in the grass out there. In August of last year, Fort Carson had a hailstorm that destroyed some 40 aircraft. You can actually see it on my sailing numbers in August. Everyone goes down to 0 because all my customers had their blades ripped off in a windstorm. And that's terrifying for Fort Carson. I think that was the first or second most expensive storm in Fort Carson history, but they occur on 3 to 4 year intervals. So I saw 3 of the most expensive storms in Fort Carson history just in my few years that I was there. So building this hangar gives them somewhere to run. So they're trying to build these relationships with local entities where they don't have enough room on their airfield. It takes them 10 to 15 years to get the financing or the funding through their channels. We can do it in somewhere between 18 and 24 months. We'll be able to house 3 helicopters. They have first right of refusal to the hangar when they're not there. The hangar are general aviation, like private aviation customers, and a single night rental rate for that hangar can get to $600 a night. So good money for business for the airport. But also think about those crews now are getting hotels in town, they're getting rental cars, they're shopping, eating here. So
that's a good different perspective of an Airbnb. That's really cool. I like this. So let me, what about on the finance portion? What is the, I know we're looking at $3.2 million, the any matching funds?
So in bigger communities, the DOE expects a 10% match, but we are, it's called a hub zone, which is a rural area. And it just depends on the individual grant, but usually it's a 0% match for those. What we are obligated to provide is all the engineering and soft costs up front, which I plan to fund up to $100,000. And I'm working through your engineers of record on a separate project myself to have these projects engineered. We have to have the engineering completed by June in order to apply for this. So that'll come out of pocket up to $100,000 for me. And I'm hoping to complete the engineering over that.
So I have a question for Mr. Dorenkamp right now. So for the engineering perspective through the FAA, is there any possibility of obtaining a grant through them to offset some of the costs for this engineering study?
I would not think by June.
Okay.
It would to him.
Yes.
And I don't know about Owenet. They've got funding for plans, but there again, Commissioner, we're looking at months.
Yes.
Even through Owenet.
And then I was thinking of Owenet because they continue to promote rural access.
Rural access, and they, for whatever reason, the state just loves plans. They love developing plans, and we're okay with that too. What do you think the engineering costs are going to be?
I'm waiting for a quote back from Jake Paul over at Golden Bank. I'm hoping $100,000 or under.
And that's just for the hangar, is that for the hog fuel and the other? Okay.
I you know, and again, this time is of the essence, but I think even a quick chat with Poetit, they continue to, every time we have an opportunity, is please reach out. We're here, and there could be a possibility. And what if there would be a post, I mean, I doubt that there's going to be any post plan award, which, you know, they would want to see exactly. They would probably want to get involved with the verification of those prints and so on. But I don't know. I what do we have to lose by making a phone call to them?
I will call.
Thank you, sir.
I guess
Skid. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, so I have a question for our finance, and she's not here today. Where would this money come from if we couldn't get a grant?
So the project
engineering part of it.
The timeline is the backup plan. There's enough time to get denied the defense infrastructure plan to do a scaled down version of this project that Fort Carson itself is going to fund. We have to cut out the chunks of the project. I don't think they're going to want to throw $3.2 million. But as long as, like, we'll find out for sure in August if we're approved or not approved, which gives enough time for us to get into the next fiscal year's budget cycle for Fort Carson, and they can fund it. I'm not requesting, I do not recommend that the county tries to fund this. You will not see a return on your investment.
Yep. It sounds good. To me, it's advantageous of them to secure it because they're the ones that are going to benefit from the hangar and the fuel.
Yes, sir.
And
I agree with that 100%. I do that. Again, it would take 20 years for us to do it through the FAA. It would take my business 15 years to afford these projects. Our luck is that our needs overlap the Army's needs, and we understand those needs. So I think,
and I see the estimated grant award is September 30th, and then how soon would the construction begin?
Depends on the contractor, availability of the contractors. My guess would be breaking ground not later than June of next year and complete within about a year. I was told we're really lucky 18 months from when I initially sat down with the engineers.
And do either of these projects have to be moved, for lack of a better way of asking, by the FAA?
Your engineers of record need to make what's called a pen and ink, or just a pencil change to the airport layout plan. That informs the FAA hey, our master plan feeds the airport layout plan. The airport layout plan is more of the engineering, legal, hey, does everything here need a setback, offset, requirements, age and safety requirements, all that. And that stuff, the pen and ink changes are pretty easy. The areas that we've identified in this project are not currently obligated to any future construction. We did that intentionally, so it's just a very simple strange.
So the construction method would not have to adhere to FAA standards, so we probably wouldn't have to spend as much on engineering or the construction itself.
Their engineers are going to try and send it towards FAA standards. And I will try and pull back the budget where I can on things. But yeah, sir, I think at the core of your concern is when the FAA funds these projects, a parking lot turns into $1 million project.
Yeah.
It's insane. I don't know if we'll be able to get away from that or not. I will with the hangar, but with the hot refuel horizontal construction, it's
Well, I guess what I'm trying to get a sense for, and Mr. Searle touched upon it, is if there's engineering costs for that $100,000, his question was where we're going to be pulling funds from. So, Brett, that's going to have to be a discussion we have to have with our finance director, but I'm just trying to think, okay, is guesswork. Is this going to, engineering part going to run over 100,000? So,
Your new engineers of record have nothing but good things to say about them. I think they'll find some creative ways to move certain sections of that into hard costs of the project. So it is grant
driven.
I have a feeling Jamie Paul will get creative with us. They want to do this. I think we want to do this.
Would this project be under the scrutiny of David Bacon? David Bacon wages, federal wages, as far as because, and again, it goes back to your question, Mr. Dorenkamp, as this is, if you will, under FAA somewhat of an umbrella, the Davis Bacon wages federal government perspective. I just don't want us to be caught up with any surprises at the end of the day when we're proposing this 11,000 square foot facility, and now because we have to pay federal baseline wages may pull the project back. That would be something else that we may need to, which I don't know.
I would, my guess is it probably will be because the funding comes via the DOD, right?
Yeah.
And anytime there's federal funds involved in anything, my sense is it's probably going to be a prevailing wage at Davis Bacon.
What I will say is we've been fairly conservative with the $3.2 million number. My initial swag on it from contractors was $1.5 million for both projects. So the 3.2 was the engineer's record saying, hey, we've seen these projects run as high as this. It's going to be better for you to ask high and then not take as much.
Very good.
So I think we've got some.
And I would imagine that their planning took in consideration a federal project.
Yep. Question, Phil. So the map on the back, we've got preliminary maps for where our power industrial park is going to be laid out. Does this overlap pretty well with that?
Yeah, the industrial park is on the outside.
Okay.
So that does take me to the, back on the benefits. Moving over to the hot refuel points, which is what you're referencing on the back there. So our benefit to our military aircraft is pretty straightforward. We can take bigger aircraft and bigger flights. So if you remember the large flight of 22 aircraft that came, it takes an hour and a half to feed through that. And that limits the Army's desire to want to utilize these. But if we can double our throughput, they'll definitely be purchasing more. The benefit to this one to general aviation traffic is, gentlemen, I have to be honest and apologize to you. Your airport's got me kind of busy. There are times when it's at capacity for safe operation. In particular, near sunset is when all the military aircraft are showing up. It's when our Bemidji aircraft is taking off. It's when a lot of our GA are doing touch and goes. And it gets a little dicey. This project allows rotary-wing traffic to enter the refuel facility completely deconflicted from fixed traffic. So it's procedural. So if I'm on vacation, you don't have to worry about somebody pretending to be air traffic control. They just have a procedure that gets them in and out safely. The benefit to the county on this one is we've worked it in with a future intended project, which is the parallel taxiway project. So you'll see schedule 2 of it is in like the orange color. That perfectly aligns with where your future parallel taxiway would be. So we work in 100 yards, that's actually about 200 yards of future taxiway. It's about $400,000 that you don't have to spend on that taxiway project in the future.
Yep. Well, and it was interesting to watch that the one of the evenings, that rotary traffic, when I think you had one or two planes also landing. And I decided I'm going to go for a little walk because it came a little interesting. You have the runways. But I mean, great job. And I like the idea that you're saying they have now an artery to get to the point without interfering with any landing incoming or outgoing traffic.
The term you might hear in the future is wake turbulence concerns. Helicopters and small fixed wing aircraft are not supposed to play close together. When big planes and helicopters land, they produce turbulence out behind them, and it's actually enough to flip a small airplane. Look up lots of videos of it. So CH-47 produces as much wake turbulence as a 737. So helicopters and small planes do not play well. This fixes that problem for us. Not that we haven't had a hazard yet. This guarantees it in perpetuity. So.
Wow. And the Osprey must be much worse.
It's something else, that's for sure.
Yeah. Went out there and watched Tiemann's Puma and Osprey. So they're the planes that have the two rotors that, yeah, lift them up and down. They're loud.
Got to blow out this thing. Ever. Yeah. It's insane. So ultimately, kind of in summary here, what I'm really asking for from you is the first 2.5 pages of this is a formal request from Los Angeles County to the United States Army at Fort Carson to endorse this project. Command endorsement is required in order to get it moving, and I've got a draft here for you that I mentioned to go for your legal review. But hopefully it's in the neighborhood.
Yes.
That's down over the review. Next is the county engineer to submit for the grant on the county's behalf, which they're already starting to work on the grant application itself. When the project is completed, the way I see this working, because you own the project, I see myself leasing these projects from you for a use of some sort, whether that's a fuel flow tree or hangar or whatever, you can get a piece of it. I would like to recover some of my engineering costs.
Sure.
So finding a way to make that even out. But at the end of the day, this is your infrastructure, and I'm hoping to get it for you for nothing at all. And then that's just the next big step towards airport growth. I think you're going to see a lot more interest in your airport after this project.
Well, Mr. Carroll, you mentioned two things. One is legal review, and that's definitely what we'll do. Take a look at the pro-con, and then our county administrator will then get ink and paper to see as far as exactly what you're mentioning, if there is any recommendations. And, you know, from where I stand, this is nothing but a great upgrade to that facility. And if the money is almost volunteered to be given, I mean, we would be in a different position. And one of the action items that we'll follow up on is Mr. Dorenkamp reaching out to OEDIT. I think for the sake of a ribbon cutting, we'd love to have him that day when we open up the facility and give him a ton of credit for providing funds to this project. I'm just going way ahead up there, Mr. Dorenkamp. You know, the idea is that if there is money to be had.
Dog and pony show.
Yes, if there is money to be had.
Usually we'll cut the ribbon. I'll have the camera.
All right, that sounds good. No, but great project. And again, the U.S. representative, as you heard, and you met him, if there is anything from your perspective, communication through Mr. Dorenkamp, and let's continue to work on the low-hanging fruit, which is what we have already submitted to him as far as direct funding from the federal government. I believe that if the opportunity is there, he's going to deliver a couple of projects that you submitted, and thank you for doing that. And that just keeps advancing the overall operation of that facility.
And the only grammatical error I can see here is the spelling of my last name. Get that fixed.
My apologies, sir.
It's okay. It's okay. It happens all the time. But for the purpose of this, we'll have to have it correct. So.
And if you could send me this information digitally, most of my life, much easier. When do you need this? When do you need this? So I said, I'm bored and watching dogs time.
Is it possible to do it in the first week of May at the Board of County Commissioners training schedule?
Where are we at today? The 17th? 18th? That possibly, gives, depends on council's workload.
That's yeah. true.
That gives us the, that would give us the month of May for the Army, which I've already drafted their letters as well, but they'll need to also do their legal review once they receive your signed request. That gives them a month to produce their endorsement. I've got verbal confirmation that the division commander intends to support, but they still need to go through their legal review. And then the application packet is going to be due sometime in June. So that's engineering complete, request from the military, or sorry, endorsement from the military, and engineering.
So I think you mentioned, but I'm just going to ask again so I have it clear, that the military can't do any kind of endorsements until we have submitted our request for this one.
I can send the draft version of this. I think for just procedural sake, the best way to do it would be
with signatures.
With signatures.
We'll submit it. We'll forward that to council. And that's, I believe that we may, I'm really hoping we all have it, but again, no promises on having it on the first meeting in May. Any additional questions, commissioners?
I am.
You heard we're going to be putting a beef processing plant, so we're going to
ship them right out.
That is right.
Eat a Chinook externally load of cattle.
Beef, hanging beef.
Oh, hanging.
They have to be freezer.
So we can Chinook the cattle in here for.
Yeah.
It is, you know, we have a great opportunity.
Yeah.
To Houston. Very.
That's amazing to hear. And again, I'm glad that we found a way for this project to keep that up to the community. And I'm glad this is working out for us.
Anybody else? Any additional comments? Mr. Art? Well, hearing no other comments and no more discussion on this particular item, I will now entertain a motion to adjourn this work session on this beautiful April 18, 2025.
So moved.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Serra?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, thank you.
So all